pain in the morning, June 30th, last day of the month. We made it. I'm not sure where we made it to, but we made it. Next up, July. Now you can say, yeah, June 2020, I spent a year there once. Or May 2020 or April 2020. If you didn't have gray hairs before this, check the mirror. Thanks for checking in with us again. And last night on the podcast, or this morning on the podcast, whenever the hell the podcast was listened to or viewed, depending on your choice, we had the video of the lady on our lawn with the gun. And they took that off of Twitter. Whoever posted that originally took it off. So it's still preserved on the video podcast, Pain in the Morning, on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. So that's preserved. Otherwise, it's gone. We clipped it and put it at the top of our Twitter, Thomas1774Pain. And, but whoever originally had it up probably took it down because they were like a sympathizer, like, oh man, this lady is pointing a gun at innocent protesters. The same innocent protesters that were threatening her. So I'm sure that's why they took it down, to help with the official narrative. But it's interesting. It's just funny that we preserved it on there last night when we were showing it to you guys on the video podcast again. And we shout out to the folks on the video podcast. We appreciate you listening and watching and supporting us. That's a surefire way to throw us a bone. And I say this not lightly, but keep the lights on, literally, as we are not funded by millionaires and billionaires like everybody else. And we're not on anybody's payroll. And we don't have to slop around in the mud with their bullshit agenda. We just want to tell folks how it is, as truthful as we can be, through the prism of 35 years experience in journalism, intel, and the School of Hard Knocks. So we appreciate the support on those two platforms. And let's just jump right into it here. The good news about COVID-19, the corporate media keeps hidden. Let's jump into that. Now, many commentators have noted that rising case numbers are not necessarily a reason to sound the alarm. The fear with COVID-19 was always of overwhelming in the hospital system. The correct numbers to look at are COVID-19 hospitalizations, the percent of positive tests, and the age breakdown for severe disease. A doctor from the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center said in a press conference Wednesday that people who are testing positive do not appear to be getting as sick as they did earlier in the pandemic. Of course, pandemic, I use that word lightly. Dr. Donald Yeely also noted this trend was being seen in the wake of massive protests. Dr. Yeely, better watch what you say there. The last guy from the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, UPMC, who was making breakthroughs in the COVID-19 research for a vaccine, ended up shot to death in his apartment by somebody he worked with, who then allegedly turned the gun on himself. So be careful out there. Yins, be careful downtown UPMC. Yeely said, we need to change our mindset and focus not exclusively on the number of cases, but on the severity of illness. We shouldn't just be counting those who have a diagnosed infection. That's what they're doing, Yeely said. For the vast majority of people testing positive, their illness is mild, or they don't even know they have symptoms of COVID-19 infection. Yeely also noted that the positive case rate was 1 in 400, which has remained steady for weeks. He also noted improved treatment protocols and some success with remdesivir and other medications, effective treatment is an addition to some success protecting the elderly and as much younger patient load testing positive. Under the subheading of hydroxychloroquine, Professor Harvey Risch, MD, PhD, is a researcher at the Yale School of Public Health with a specialty in cancer etiology, prevention and early diagnosis, and epidemiological methods. I barely made it through that sentence. All those Curious George books are paying off. He recently surveyed research on the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc, concluding that they should be made widely available for use in the pandemic. Oh, take it easy, Professor Rich. They don't cost $3,000 or $5,000 a treatment like remdesivir. So just take it easy, buddy. You might end up in the UPMC Suicide Hall of Fame or Homicide Hall of Fame like the other researcher. As many clinicians using the drug combinations have been asserting, it is effective in preventing a progression if given early and outpatient. Several have reported that even if a patient has a mild shortness of breath, it reduces the severity of the illness. We're talking about the combination of hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc. From the abstract of Dr. Risch's article in the American Journal of Epidemiology, going into this stuff because it's important. You need to see that there are other alternatives than the $3,000 to $5,000 treatment scheme of this remdesivir, who has a Gilead, the pharma parent, who's pumping out this battery ass. Is a very shaky history. We've done previous shows on it where they've been the target of FBI probes with Rambaxi and the Clinton Foundation and Gates. This is bad news. So I wanted to highlight the fact that there are other alternatives that don't cost $5,000. Bill your insurance company $5,000. Guess how much your insurance company is going to pay? About $3. You're going to get the bill in the mail. Dr. Risch's article, the abstract of it in the American Journal of Epidemiology, said early outpatient illness is very different than later hospitalized florid disease, and the treatments differ. Evidence about use of hydroxychloroquine alone or of hydroxychloroquine azithromycin in patients is irrelevant concerning efficacy of the pair in early high-risk outpatient disease. Five studies, including two controlled clinical trials, have demonstrated significant major outpatient treatment efficacy. It means you can take it at home. I'm babbling. I need some water. Give me some azithromycin too, so you don't have to be hospitalized. And in New York and New Jersey, that means you don't run the risk of saying, hey, that guy looks pretty good. Put him on a ventilator. Let's charge the insurance company and the federal government $39,000 and make sure he's dead by the morning. We want to free that ventilator up so we can make another $40,000 tomorrow. You can take these things at home. And I think the $3,000 to $5,000 remdesivir, you have to be given in a series of doses in a hospital. So, yeah, guess what? It's $3,000 or $5,000, depending on how much you need for the medication, but $250,000 for the hospitalization. That's what this is all about. Money! Always about money, folks. Follow the money. The article was written by Risch in May of 2020, on May 27th. When asked why he thought the drug was so controversial, he said, he's talking about hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin. I think there's been confusion about treating the cold versus treating the pneumonia. These medications don't seem to work so well for treating the pneumonia. As early as possible is crucial within the first 5 or 6 days of symptoms. 72% of doctors in Spain are using the drug combination. It would appear in the United States it was less about confusion and more about politics, more about cash. Remember the fish tank cleaner bullshit scheme that they propagated? Remember that? Cases with mild or no symptoms are still the population health researchers are trying to get their arms around. However, recent congressional testimony regarding peer-reviewed research and antibody testing caused the CDC to increase the number of infections to 23 million Americans. It's estimated that 8.7 million had likely been infected by March using data for flu-like illnesses. For every one person confirmed, serology for antibodies indicated 10 had had it. Establishing this infection rate is a game-changing finding. It really is. We talked about this earlier. And don't be bored that we're short on jokes and intel up front. This is important stuff. This is the basis of how you're being played by these fucking politicians and scumbags who see you as a piece of meat, a piece of cargo, not a human being. The UK reported excellent results with generic and expensive drug, the dexamethasone, whatever. Dexamethasone, I don't know how to say D, whatever. Dex, let's slow it down. Dexamethasone, whatever. It's just some of these things. Public university. This is why I couldn't go Ivy League. You got the grades, you got the SATs, but you're a babbling fool. The funding confirms the work done by Dr. Thomas Yadagar at Providence Cedars-Sinai. What did he do? An overactive immune system response that can be addressed with the steroids and other immune suppressants is what is making some patients severely ill. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that what they did by putting people on ventilators? Clinical protocols to treat this syndrome already exist and need to be widely communicated to clinicians. So don't put people on ventilators is a good start. So that took a little long to explain, but again, to point this stuff out, we're laying out. It's one of those days I've been talking on the phone. It's midnight, a little after midnight here on the East Coast. I literally got on the phone at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to start taking calls. Well, they started before that. They got me right out of bed this morning. Some good sources. I have a good podcast tomorrow on the Wednesday podcast for sure. And another pain in the morning coming tomorrow. I'll be sharing some good information tomorrow. The fruits of these phone calls, 4 or 5 massive calls today with people, sources, and troubling stuff. Keeps getting more troubling, but I mean, that's the way the truth is. It's inconvenient, and truth hurts, for lack of better expression. It really does. That's why you don't get it from other places. It's hard to build a brand when you're telling the truth all the time. I'm finding that out, but we continue to journey onward regardless. But it was one of those days where you're just on the phone all day and just couldn't get off. I literally got off the phone. 15 minutes in? 5 minutes before I started the podcast, ended the last call, and I said, let's go. Let's get the podcast done and move on. And hammer it out. So here we are. Headline. The coronavirus lockdowns were a mistake. Here's why. Speaking of lockdowns. I hear the train a-coming. Did you hear the train a-coming when you were locked down in your house? Talk about Folsom County Prison. a lot of people said, oh man, Johnny Cash sings a lot about prison and trains and stuff, and it's very interesting. Yeah, well, you've been in a prison now. Now you really know what he was talking about. No wonder these guys are all depressed. Jesus Christ, I've been locked up. In various states across the nation, there's been a noticeable trend of an increase in coronavirus cases. While this fact makes the headlines, the detail that seems to get overlooked is the fact that deaths have declined. He says as he gives a very stern look to the video camera. I mean, come on, right? Deaths are down, the testing's up. What does that tell you? Mathematically, it tells you that the mortality rate is even lower than Fauci's models. Ooh, we got models. Our models are telling us we're all going to fucking die in 2 weeks. Everybody hide under the couch while we can fleece you sons of bitches. These fucking assholes should be in Folsom Prison. Sons of bitches. They'll probably get away with it like they get away with everything else. I don't know this time, though. I think they overstepped this time. We'll see. Time will tell. I'm not here to force people out in the street with a farm implements or anything else. I'm just chronicling and in some instances predicting the future based on intel and wisdom gained through experience. The rest is up to you, folks. Florida, Arizona, Texas, California, and Ohio are among the states that have experienced spikes in cases but have maintained declining death rates or no spikes in deaths. I don't think any of those states, well, one of them did. California, they stuffed the old people, they stuffed COVID patients into long-term care facilities and nursing homes. Jersey and New York, Pennsylvania. Those governors should be locked in Folsom County Prison. A governor's wolf, Governor Murphy, and Governor Cuomo, among others. I think Governor Crazy Eyes out there in Michigan is added into the mix. She should be locked up for a number of reasons, I'm sure. According to Justin Hart, an information architect and data analyst from San Diego, who gets the virus is just as important as how many gets the virus. Right now, the average age of infected cases has dropped nearly 20 years. A White House coronavirus task force member, Dr. Anthony Fauci, yes, acknowledged this fact last week. The overwhelming majority of people who are now getting infected are young people, like the people that you see in the clips in the paper or out in the crowds enjoying themselves. Thanks, Dr. Fauci, thanks, Captain Obvious. Young people, possibly from the recent protests and riots, are likely behind the recent spike in cases, and that tells us a lot about why the data looks the way it does right now. According to the CDC's current best estimate, the fatality rate of the coronavirus for symptomatic cases are as follows. If you have a calculator that goes this low, God bless you. 0 to 49-year-olds. This is the fatality rate. 0.05%. This is like the Delta House's GPA in Animal House. 50 to 64-year-olds, 0.2%. This isn't 2%, right? It's 0.2%. 65-plus years old, 1.3%. And over all ages, that's an average of everybody, 0.4%. Okay, so what is that? 96? I don't know, 90... 96, 97%, 98, or 99, I guess from 0 to 49 years old is 99.5%. survival rate. Why are they talking about death rates? Talk about a survival rate when you got those kind of numbers. When you take into account the approximately 30% of coronavirus infections are asymptomatic, that drives the fatality rate down even further. The risk of death for the general population of school and working age is typically in the range of a daily car ride to work, notes Josh Ketter, a medical writer on Medium. Professor Mark Woolhouse, an expert in infection and infectious diseases in Scotland, he led a study that determined current lockdown restrictions could be easily lifted as long as the most vulnerable populations are left protected. No! No! That's just what they'll be expecting in New York. We need to send the virus into these people and make sure they get infected and die. I've said it before. Why are these people not under investigation, criminal investigation for manslaughter? Our Department of Justice is a fucking disgrace. According to the Woolhouse, for the non-vulnerable population, the coronavirus is comparable to a nasty flu. Yeah, I'd say it's nasty in the sense that it's ruined your entire life, no matter how old you are, your job, your family, in many instances, because of your finances. A lot of the family-related stress are finance-related, as we have found out. The folks who decided they would get married and have kids. That's one of the byproducts you find out through life. Holy shit, what are we going to do now? We don't have any money. That's always a interesting conversation. And everything they've done, the fear that they've sparked into people, the masks, the way that they've altered our country, and the foreclosures, the depression, the anxiety, the repossessed cars, the creditors, the unemployment, the stimulus, the fact that many people spent decades and some second and third generation, more than decades, generations, building businesses and they've tanked because the government won't let them go back to work. What's the price of that? For something that's basically like a bad flu. Basically like a bad flu. If you have an idea why this is all going on, I have my own ideas. I can't really say yet. Then let me know. Especially on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. I get a lot of good emails on there, and we also get a lot of good chats on a daily basis underneath the shows, sharing intel and information. It's very enlightening. If you have some inside information on this stuff, I know you won't feel shy to share it because you haven't so far. So, and we're focusing on COVID-19 because, folks, this is the story. Period. So this shit, so the sideshow stuff, a lot of it, non-starter for me. I've been in this racket a long time. I know where to focus and where not to. This is, these are kitchen table topics that affect your entire household. Some idiot in the street with a can of spray paint is not. That's sideshow bullshit. In keeping with the theme,
you're not being very funny tonight. This is bullshit. I tuned in and trying to get a laugh.
Okay. Houston hospital boss shatters the media's COVID fear mongering. Only about three or four more people in ICU. Oh, man, we're going back a little. Humble pie. That's what I'm talking about. Any humble pie fans out there? We know that's not the house band in Washington. Humble Pies, I don't need no doctor. Headlines like Houston facing apocalyptic July 4th sparked fear and panic across most of America's media over the weekend as talk of maxed out ICUs and soaring case numbers dominated every pixel, with very few able to see any link to this resurgence in cases and the riots and protests that began to take place a few weeks ago. Humble Pie pulling it out. Sorry, it's just, this is a medley of news, humor, music, frustration, chaos. They say the show is supposed to reflect the personality of the host. Well, this is me. This is me. Houston Methodist CEO Dr. Mark Boom told CNBC on Monday that the demographics of the outbreak have flipped and that the mostly younger people arriving in the state's hospitals often don't even require an ICU beds, even though many do not get very sick. Even though we have about 200 more patients in-house, about double, we only have about 3 or 4 more people in the ICU. So that's encouraging. Wait a minute. That's not what these boneheads in the media said. They said the ICUs were jammed. Fucking mainstream media just selling. Mainstream media working for the Fauci, Burks, Redfield cabal. Of course, those dummies are just puppets for Gates and Soros and all these other people that are historically nefarious from generation to generation. Old money. Real scary people. Additionally, as CNBC reports, Boom at the hospital says Houston Methodist has the necessary capacity to handle the COVID-19 outbreak, echoing similar comments from Dr. David Callender, CEO of Memorial Hermann Health System across the way in Houston. Boom reiterated his comments from last week that the number of hospitalizations are being misinterpreted. And quite frankly, we're concerned that there's a level of alarm in the community that is unwarranted right now. Yeah, this is how like a reporter, that's how they get the information.
All right, so you have more people in the ICU?
Yes, we do.
And how many more would you say you have in the hospital than normal?
Oh, we have about double the amount that's in the hospital.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We got one here. Thanks a lot, doctor. How do you spell your name? And what's your position?
And then they run to their editors.
We got double the amount of people that are in ICU.
Then that's not what he said. This is what happens when these desk jockeys pick up the phone and try to break a story. They fuck everything up. But it doesn't matter. There's no penalty to be bad at your job in the media. You're actually rewarded. So who gives a shit if you get it right? Who cares? It's actually probably better and more profitable for the... I don't know what's going on with fucking Humble Pie, but these guys went on some kind of a rant. Kind of a lead here. Turned into a Grateful Dead show. It's probably more profitable for the media to be wrong than it is to be right. See, that's the problem. It's incredible. The doctor actually said that the level of alarm in the community is unwarranted. And who created the level of alarm? The media. CNBC and its fucking dummies. We do have the capacity to care for many more patients and have lots of fluidity and ability to manage, Boom said. He pointed out that the hospital 1 year ago was 95% ICU capacity, similar to the numbers the hospital is seeing today. So nothing's changed. It's completely normal for us to have ICU capacities that run in the 80s and 90s percentile, he said. That's how all hospitals operate.
We got people in hospitals in in Houston, there's double, there's hundreds of people in the ICU.
Wrong. How come no one fact checks these assholes? They only fact check conservative media. One Twitter user, Winthrop, noted that CEO of another one of the Houston's main hospitals has issued a statement pushing back against an unnecessarily alarming reporting on ICU capacity in the state. So people are saying, the medical professionals saying, this is bullshit. Texas Children's Hospital CEO Mark Wallace added that his facility has a lot of capacity. There is not a scenario, in my opinion, where the demand for our beds would eclipse our capability, he continued. I cannot imagine that. I just cannot. Well, stick around. I'm sure Dr. Fauci will tell you how you're going to get there. Fauci could listen to a little bit humble pie. I think he missed that course growing up. Okay, here we go. Mass tracking is the new wrinkle in the CoronaCon emerging and ever-evolving scheme that we're all a part of now, like it or not. Mass tracking COVID pass immunity passports to be rolled out in 15 countries. So now you're going to get a passport if you want to go around places. So if you want to roam around, like the B-52s would say, roam, you're going to need your COVID pass, immunity passports. I'm sure you can just opt to have Bill Gates' face on it instead of yours if you want to. You open to the back, it's got Bill and Melinda Gates waving at you. Hello! And a 3-day license for Microsoft Windows. A British cybersecurity company in partnership with several tech firms is rolling out the COVID pass in 15 countries across the world, a digital health passport that will contain your COVID-19 test history and other relevant health information. I'm going to roll out a similar competing COVID pass called Go Fuck Yourself Pass. might not be as popular, but that's my pass. Do you have your papers? Go fuck yourself. Sorry, you can't get into our country. Good. I didn't want to get into your shitty country anyhow. They better not pull this shit here. According to the company's website, the passport's objective is to safely return to work and resume social interactions by providing authorities with up-to-date and authenticated health information. This is some bullshit. These objectives mirror those that Bill Gates... Ah, Mr. Gates is sticking his head into this again, has been promoting since the start of the COVID-19 lockdown. Now, we need
passports.
I told you we should have put locks on these fucking geeks when we stuffed them in the lockers. Should have put locks on those lockers. Let them think about it for another day or two. In an essay written by Gates in April, the software geek philanthropist lays out his support for the draconian measures taken in response to the virus. Like an old-timey mob boss, suggests the solutions to be deliberately imposed. Ironically, Gates begins to make his case for the adoption of mass tracking and surveillance technology in the U.S. by saying that
For now, the United States can follow Germany's example.
Oh, really? I think we are following Germany's example. About 1919 through 1942, 1943, 1944. Gates then touts the advantages of
the voluntary adoption of digital tools.
Yeah, he called himself a digital tool. I didn't say it. So we can remember where we have been. and can choose to share it with whoever comes to interview you about your contacts. Yeah. Come on over and interview me about my contacts, and I'll show you where I've been. I've been in the backyard digging a fucking grave for you. My COVID pass is out back. Come on out back. Yeah, it's down there in the hole. Oh, that's a deep hole. Yeah, you're about to fucking find out how deep it is. Gates goes on to predict that the ability to attend public events in the near future will depend on the discovery of an effective treatment. One that he probably makes a lot of money on. Isn't that how things work out in the Bill Gates world?
Now we need a treatment, especially one where I can profit.
Why does this fucking guy have any traction? A legitimate White House would have shut this guy down. I'll leave it at that for now. As we move closer, or I should say, these problems with coronavirus continue to fester like a boil on our country, these things aren't going away. Guy like Gates, bad guy. Why do all the bad people prosper at the expense of the good people? What's up with that? That's when you know there's a problem. That's when you know your country is basically lost its way. People say, well, we need to get our country back. I don't think we can get it back. I think we could stop the bleeding like a tourniquet and maybe try to rebuild. But some of these things, this guy's got way too much traction, way too many contacts, and now he's in the White House. Problem. Big problem. Big problem. He's not going away. Gates remains pessimistic that any such cure will be good enough in the short term to make people
feel safe to go out again.
Yeah. It's always safe to go out with Bill Gates' battery acid in your arm. Safe to go out again if you can fucking walk. Unlike the paralyzed kids that he did a number on, his vaccine sponsoring did a number on in India and Poland and other places, Africa. Tough to feel safe going out again when you're in a hammock and none of your limbs work. These warnings by the multi-billionaire dovetail perfectly with this stated purpose of the aforementioned COVID pass, whose development is also being carried out in partnership with Red Strike Group, a sports marketing consultancy firm that is working with England's Premier League and their Project Restart to parse ticket sales and only make them available to people who have tested negative for the virus. So yeah, good luck with that. Good luck testing those drunks before they get into the arena. VST Enterprises is led by another group tied into this that went viral. It's led by 31-year-old entrepreneur Lewis James Davis, who has recently stepped down from a science and technology ambassadorship in the African nation of Zimbabwe. And we all know that Zimbabwe is a global hub for science and technology. To focus on the company's role in the UN's Sustainable Development Goals Collaboratory Initiative. I've heard enough. When I hear Zimbabwe in the UN, I want to rent a convertible and drive off a cliff with Thelma and Louise. They're working on comprising a series of cyber technology projects across all 193 member states of the United Nations. You see where this is going? They will use the same proprietary V-code and V-platform technologies underpinning the COVID pass. See? So you get your COVID pass in the UK, or if it comes to America, and then it's shared across all cyber technology platforms and projects of all 193 member states of the United Nations. Yeah, so... which I would think would include your DNA. So one day you wake up, you're on a road trip to, you're on a road trip, say, you know, let's go down to Florida for a little road trip. And from there you go to a member country, maybe in South America, or you fly from the United States to London, and you got your bags packed and you got a little Perillo tour planned, 2, 3, 5 days, 2 weeks. And on day two, you wake up in a bathtub in a hotel packed with ice and you're missing a kidney. Because on your V code and your V platform on your COVID pass, you're a DNA match for some rummy who paid black market cash for a new kidney. We got one coming in from New York. He doesn't know it yet.
We're not even going to need one of those igloo coolers. We'll just take it. We'll take it right. The hotel has an ice machine, right? We'll just take it from the hotel, put it in a pillowcase, and then we'll do the operation.
You think I'm kidding? This is not fucking that far-fetched. Share your medical history with 193 member states of the United Nations in your DNA. Yeah, that's going to go well, right? Jesus. Oh, man. Think about what these people are really up to. The third generation. Wait a minute. These COVID pass will reportedly tackle issues such as illegal mining and counterfeiting. This third generation barcode technology overcomes the limitations of older second generation versions like QR codes. By all measures, the strategy has proven wildly successful, and VST now enjoys strong favor in the highest circles of the UK government. Some real geniuses there. As evidenced by the ringing endorsement of former Prime Minister Theresa May. Oh, yeah, how much was she paid to run her fat yap? Prominently displayed on the COVID pass website. Well, somebody's already taken her brain, or he transplanted her brain, what was left of it. So she is a good spokesperson. More practically, VST now has a direct partnership with the UK government and has secured contracts to deploy its technology in 15 countries, including Italy. These are the places you don't want to go if you have the COVID pass, because you could wake up in a bathtub of ice and a string of 200 to 300 stitches performed by some 10-year-old who's being paid a nickel an hour to sew you back up. 15 countries, including Italy, Portugal, France, India. Oh, the United States. See, I thought we were exempt from this. You better watch out. You better stay out of Motel 6s. Canada, Sweden, Spain, South Africa, Mexico, United Arab Emirates, and the Netherlands. You better get ready. Your organs are going to have a barcode on them too before they're done with you. This is bad fucking news, guys. This is a dystopian nightmare is what it is. A universal health passport is nothing less than a total dystopian nightmare. Maybe open up and maybe be like a little credit card and it'll have Hitler's face on it. You flip it over, it's got a hologram and it's Dr. Mengele. Oh, look at that. It changes. Different Nazis. So neat. Honey, bring the kids around. Look at this. Can't even. That's some scary shit. Where are we at? 45? That is really scary. The full article of that, like all the other articles, is on, links to that is on True Pundit. Pain in the Morning. It'll be 6:30. 6.30.20 for the date. I read that whole article. It's fucking disturbing. I'm looking over. We could probably have done the whole show on that, but hey, how low do I want to take you guys? Hey, and who said there wouldn't be any humor? Waking up in the bathtub, missing one of your kidneys. What's funnier than that? Headline is Northam. Northam, for you guys, it's not the toilet paper, but the governor of Virginia. Is Northam turning Virginia into a society of snitches? What's better with talking about snitches when you can play a little rat? We're becoming a society of rats. We're celebrated. Ratting is celebrated. Snitching is celebrated. Where I come from, snitches get stitches. And now it turns out you might just get stitches because your COVID pass card. You can't even make this stuff up. It's literally scary. It's scary. The Virginia Department of Health under Governor Ralph Blackface slash KKK Hood Party Northam is encouraging Virginians to file an anonymous report to snitch on various establishments for violating the governor's restrictions to fight the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic that came from China. State Senator Mark Abshane pondered whether Northam is trying to turn Virginia into a society of snitches. Round and round. Every day, folks. Round and round. The governor of Virginia is now trying to turn us into a society of informers and snitches. Abshane asked. The governor and his health secretary through the VA Department of Health is now asking for the people to make anonymous complaints for violations of Governor Northam's mask order. What would be the violation of Governor Northam's mask order? Is that like a trademark infringement if you wear a KKK hood or you go in blackface without a... do you need a waiver from him? Does he own the trademarks on that or... Anybody else wears a KKK hood in college or a blackface and is governor of a state right now would be helping people do their tax forms and be out of a job. This guy is celebrated. A real redneck. Congratulations, Virginia. And the submission form of the rat, well, they actually have a online rat form. And I'll tell you why. There's a drop-down menu that lists gun ranges, churches, retail businesses, and a few other types of organizations as culprits to rat out. Is there all the above? It may come down to you going to buy your gun in the church basement. So let me get this straight. Governor Northam is asking private citizens to tattle on their fellow citizens regarding his mask order and encouraging complaints to be submitted specifically as to churches and gun ranges. And these complaints can be made anonymously. There's nothing to prevent businesses from snitching on competitors or to prevent the outright fabrication of reports. Seems like a pretty good system. They kick your door in. This is sure to work to the detriment of small businesses who are struggling under the weight of the coronavirus shutdown and stifling laws Democrats passed that go into effect July 1st. What's this guy talking about? There's no small businesses left. These assholes wipe them all out. Fucking assholes all the way around. The Society of Snitches form. Entitled Online Complaint Report for Violations of Executive Order 63, Face Coverings in Executive Order 65, Phase 2 Easing of Certain Temporary Restrictions, and first reported by the Washington Free Beacon, indeed includes a drop-down menu listing 8 different types of establishments including gun ranges and in religious services as options. What about redneck fuckers in the governor's mansion? Does it, folks should, since it's anonymous, yeah, it's anonymous until they trace your IP and kick your door in with a SWAT team. Anonymous my ass. Fauci's back. Fauci is back. Fauci, headline, if a large number of people refuse COVID-19 vaccine, we will not achieve herd immunity. Yeah, we've already achieved herd immunity. Most people have been infected with it. This guy is such a fucking serial liar. You know, a lot of people have asked me to get involved in a project to take a real close look at him. I'm examining my options. I just don't know how I would fit it in with everything else going on. But I am literally looking at it. I'll roll up my sleeves and find out what this asshole's been doing for 40 years. 40, not four. 40 years in the government. And what, why he's getting away with what he's getting away with. Do we have any music for this? What's the next story I'm looking? Yeah, we'll play a little Counting Crows. Because every time I hear from this guy, I get in a bad mood. And he's the king, so we'll play a little Rain King. This guy's the king of bullshit, the king of fake news. Fake medical news, but people just lap it up on the left. Dr. Anthony Fauci suggests if there are enough people refusing to get the coronavirus vaccine once made available, the U.S. will not achieve herd immunity. We must achieve herd immunity. I've heard enough from this asshole. I'll tell you, that's what I've heard. The director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Fauci, told CNN during an interview Sunday that the best ever done on vaccines was for the measles, which he says was 97 to 98% effective. I don't know who wrote this story, but it's a fucking moron whoever wrote this. That would be wonderful if we get there, he added about COVID-19 before saying, I don't think we will. I would settle for a 70, 75% effective vaccine. Yeah, because you fucking get paid off on the side with kickbacks. That's what you're going to settle for. How much money have you pocketed through the years? Above the table and below the table. That's what I'd like to know. Nobody wants to answer that question. Ask about a previous CNN poll showing a third of Americans saying they will not get COVID-19 vaccine and if that will likely get us to herd immunity, Fauci responded, no, very unlikely. Fauci then added, there's a general anti-science, anti-authority, anti-vaccine feeling among people in this country, an alarmingly large percentage of people, relatively speaking. I got some news for you, little fucking ferret. They're just anti-Fauci. You have no credibility. The bullshit that you've pulled for 40 years with your fucking cartel of weirdos, crooks, frauds, medical hobos and posers, those days are over. There's the internet now and there's guys like me. You're not dealing with CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, these fucking weirdos. The word on the street's out on you, chump. Dr. Judy Mikovits dropped a bank safe on your fucking midget head. Fuck you, Fauci. Anyway. As I was saying. Headline, Washington Post analysis tries to debunk Trump claim on violent Democrat cities, but it actually ends up proving him right. An analysis, it's the Wild West in these Democrat cities. It's I feel bad for the cops. An analysis in the Washington Post this week apparently sought to discredit a claim by President Donald Trump about violence in Democrat-controlled cities and ended up proving him correct. The Post noted that Trump has sought to portray Democrats as soft on crime as part of his re-election strategy. Why does he... Isn't that an accepted fact? Oh, you mean... Oh, they're not soft on promoting crime. No. They're soft on preventing it. Trump said, you hear about certain places like Chicago and you hear about what's going on in Detroit and other cities, all Democrat run. Every one of them is Democrat run. 20 out of 20, the worst 20, the 20 most dangerous are Democrat run. The Post then included a graphic in the report that showed that overall, 17 out of the 20 cities with the most violent crime have Democrat mayors. While two have independent mayors and one has a Republican mayor. Okay, so basically Trump would have been 19 out of 20 if he just said liberal mayors, because independent mayors in a big city basically means you're a liberal, right? So 19 out of 20 is pretty good. I'll run through the shitholes, and we have the graphic and the story on True Pundit. Number one, New York. Two, Los Angeles. Three, Chicago. Four, Houston. Five, Philadelphia. Pride of Philadelphia. Frank Rizzo, where you at when we need you? Memphis, Detroit, Dallas, Phoenix, Baltimore. San Antonio, Vegas, Milwaukee, Nashville, Charlotte, Albuquerque, Jacksonville, Florida. I think that has the one with the Republican mayor. St. Louis, San Francisco, Cleveland. So I think San Antonio and Las Vegas are the independent mayors, I think, but they are fucking liberal. So, okay, so he used the wrong word. Whoa, let's fact check him. Let's fact check him and look like a bunch of assholes when he gets 19 out of 20. The graphic also showed that per capita, Democrat controlled 19 out of the top 20 most violent cities, with independents controlling one. And see, that's what I said. 19 out of 20. Boom. Little Charlie Daniels band there, Billy the Kid. I haven't played Charlie Daniels yet. I like Charlie Daniels. Oklahoma, new headline. Oklahoma authorities charge alleged rioters with terrorism. This is not Seattle. Authorities in Oklahoma announced late last week that they were charging alleged rioters with terrorism and assault, saying that they would not put up with this lawlessness here. This is not Seattle. District Attorney David Prater said, we're not putting up with this lawlessness here. The charges, which appear to be for alleged crimes that were committed a couple weeks ago, also included five defendants identified as involved in the painting of murals in downtown Oklahoma City this week. I gotta take a drink of water. I'm babbling. They are accused in an incitement to riot charge, interfering with a police sergeant who was trying to take a homicide witness for an interview at police headquarters Tuesday. Prater defended the charges on Sunday, saying, when you act like a terrorist, you will be treated like a terrorist. The terrorism charge involved the burning of an Oklahoma County sheriff's van and the damage done to an Oklahoma City bail bonds business. Oklahoma reported one defendant is Sile Antonio Ortiz, 21, of Welch, is charged in both incidents. He was jailed Saturday. If convicted, he could be sentenced to life in prison. Several people were carrying flags that were identified as belonging to the following groups: Antifa, Soviet Union. Well, that's a good flag. Sure. Soviet Union. Bitch, you better get a new flag. What else did you have a flag of? Atlantis? American Indian Movement, Anarcho-communism, that's a solid red, if you don't know. It's a, some people would call it a piece of cloth, but I guess... and the original Oklahoma flag, currently adopted by Oklahoma socialists. Several known supporters of the anti-establishment organizations were present in the crowd. You think so? Yeah, this guy's going to be standing in the Oklahoma sunshine in the fucking yard. It's going to get rolled up on the yard. Oh, boy. A little Waylon there. One of my favorites. I always like Waylon because he was a guy. I really identify Waylon Jennings. He was the guy who really had to earn everything he got in country music, and all these heroes were milling around Nashville playing grab ass and having things handed to him. And Waylon was playing one night stands and honky tonks in Arizona. And he became a legend. They said, yeah, you think these guys in Nashville are good? This hum guy out there in Arizona, Texas, he's tearing it up, but nobody will give him a contract. Nobody wanted to give the guy a contract. He was that good where establishment guys in Nashville were like, nah, man, we don't want that guy coming here. He's going to make us all look bad. And he did. But they fought it for a long time. I can relate with that in the media, believe me. Headline, nearly 300 NYPD police officers file for retirement as violent crime surges. According to figures released, about 272 NYPD uniformed officers have filed for retirement since the riots over the death of Minneapolis resident George Floyd began in late May. At the same time last year, about 183 officers had filed for retirement, indicating a 50% spike in retirements this year. One officer who wanted to wait to retire until he hit 30 years in with the NYPD told the New York Post, it's all an all-out war on cops and we have no support. More than 300 officers were injured in the recent riots. Jesus, what a mess. Mayor Bill... It's okay to ride the subways with coronavirus. De Blasio has vowed to cut funding to the NYPD, and Commissioner Shea has announced the disbanding of the city's 600-officer undercover anti-crime unit that was responsible for keeping shootings and violent crime down. This Shea guy's a real fucking shanty Irish prick. It's a disgrace. The exodus from the NYPD comes as violent crime in New York City keeps surging, partially thanks to the state's bail reform policy that eliminates bail for most of the nonviolent crimes and many violent crimes. Folks out there, if you don't get along with your in-laws, a travel package to New York City for the holidays could be your ticket as a gift. If you're on a tight budget, look at the bonuses. You only have to pay for one-way travel. If everything goes right. Murder has increased by nearly 50% in New York City over the last month compared to the same time last year. Likewise, burglaries have spiked more than 122%, and grand larceny auto has increased more than 56%. In the last week, shootings in New York City have increased by more than 341%, with a 414% increase in shooting victims compared to the same time in 2019. My son asked me, Dad, is this worse than New York in the 1970s? Absolutely. This is the 1970s New York on steroids. This is fucking dangerous. The media is not showing you representations of what's going on in the street in New York. It looks like fucking Beirut. It is bad. I have to dig up some videos to show you guys tomorrow on Pain in the Morning tomorrow. We're going to have the regular podcast tomorrow as well, the Big Wednesday podcast. We're going to share a lot of the 8 hours I spent on the phone today with all different cornucopia of important people that are really in the know. And I'm just going to lay it out. There's so much shit, so many different things going on. And obviously, with a lineup like that, we'll be breaking news. Two or three stories I think will come out of tomorrow's podcast. I got to see what happens between now and Wednesday. So still got a whole nother day to gather intel. So a shout out again to the folks out there on patreon.com/truepundit.
He keeps saying this. He won't shut up about this.
That's the way it is. And subscribe, subscribestar.com/truepundit for watching the video podcast, helping us keep the lights on. I have to be honest with you, if it wasn't for these cats supporting us in the last year, I probably wouldn't even be here. I'd be back in finance. I'd probably be back in Intel. So the Lord shall provide, and he has in this regard, because it was getting pretty fucking lean there for a while. And still is, of course, lean, but it's manageable. And we appreciate it. And I am happy to share my insights and my contacts with you folks and try to keep you enlightened and educated. That's better than anything, trying to teach you things that I know, things that I've learned. If you're not getting something out of this, what the hell's the point of me doing this? I mean, this is it, folks. I don't sing and dance. Well, I sing a little bit. we'll see you tomorrow for two podcasts, Pain in the Morning and the Big Wednesday podcast. I think both will be worthwhile. And as I say, in conclusion, God bless you and take care.
Hey, hello, hey. It's the acid test.
Talking about day. credit is good. Everybody's clocking you around the hood. Don't worry, baby, your credit is good. Everybody's clocking you around the hood. Don't worry, baby, your credit is good. Everybody's clocking you.